Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Behold, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate.
We welcome each of you this morning, and we welcome those who have joined us by means of radio. As indicated in the prayer that Brother Lapp led, we have a special interest today in remembering our mothers. The days that are set aside on our calendar are there to remind us of important events, important concepts, and I'm thankful that we have a Mother's Day. I want to ask Brother Barry Smith, who's one of our elders, to lead us in a special prayer in just a moment for our mothers, although we've already mentioned them in the prayer that we just had. And before we do that, I want to ask you to think in a very special way about your own mother. There are several here this morning whose mother has already passed from this life. And I encourage you to spend just a moment having those memories of what she meant to you and what she did to bring you to where you are today. Many of us are blessed that our mothers are still living. And I would ask that each of us think about mother in a very special way. I would also suggest that if you have not already called your mother today, that you do that later and express this appreciation in a very personal way. And I think it would also be fitting for those of us as men who have children to stop and think about the mother of our children, what she means to the family, how important she is, how important her work is. So let's take just a few minutes and in a very personal way, each one of us, remember mother, the wife who's the mother of our children, as Barry leads us in a special prayer.
Let's pray together.
Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful on this day that we have set aside to honor our mothers, that you have allowed us to be part of a Christian family. And we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for Christian families, the joy of human love that we share with mother, father, brother, sister. On this day, Heavenly Father, we are especially thankful for our mothers and those that have been like mothers to us, for the sacrifices that they have made, the examples that they have been to us, the teachings they have given to us. They have done so much work for us, given us so much love, that so many of us would not be here if it were not for the things that they had done for us. We're so thankful for what they mean, and we pray that you would help us to always remember and never forget the special love that they have for each of us. Be with us now as we go through the rest of this service. It's our prayer in your name. Amen.
Some of the best outlines that can be found to use in the presentation of a sermon are found right in God's Word. I believe such is the case in the three verses that were read a few minutes ago by Brother Everett Day. In Psalm 127, those last three verses are talking about family relationships. And I want us to use those three verses this morning to help us think about our parents. I've called the lesson, as you see it on the back of the worship sheet, Parents' Day. Today is Mother's Day, June the 18th. Just a little over a month away will be a day that's called Father's Day. And I want to combine both of those and think about our parents today as we think about honoring our mothers and looking ahead, even honoring our fathers. Each of these three verses suggests an idea. Verse 3 suggests the idea of the rights to be a parent or the opportunity to be a parent. Verse 4 suggests the responsibility of being a parent. And verse 5 presents the idea of the rewards that come from being a parent. And I'd like for you to leave this morning from this service with those three ideas in mind. Three ideas that begin with the letter R. Rights, responsibilities, and rewards. Let's think for just a few minutes about each of these. God created man and woman as recorded in Genesis 1 and 2. And in connection with that complete creation, He presented each of them to the other and started the first home, the first family that ever existed. And in connection with that, He gave a commandment in Genesis 1:28. He said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." In that first setting where He gave Eve to Adam to be his wife and set up the principles recorded there in the second chapter of Genesis, that a man is to leave his father and cleave to his wife and there to be one flesh, where the man and his wife are talked about in the same sentence there in the last verse of chapter 2, God said, "I want you to have the opportunity to be parents. In fact, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to replenish. I want you to multiply." He set up the principle right there with the first family, that those who are married to each other, those who are husband and wife, have the right to bring a child into this world. That was God's will from the beginning, as Jesus stated in Matthew 19, that these principles were from the very beginning. That's what God intended to be the setting for the conception and the birth of a child. In fact, with the same man Adam in Genesis 4 and verse 1, He said that Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and Cain was born. A little later in that chapter, at verse 17, it says that Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and a child was born. It is in the setting of the husband-wife relationship that God presents the right to be a parent. And that's the way He wants it today. That's the indication in the New Testament, especially as Jesus emphasizes that these laws governing the family relationships were from the beginning. It's interesting that even in Genesis 25:21, that it talks about Isaac and his wife Rebekah, and it says his wife conceived. He made a plea to the Lord, and his wife conceived. And that resulted in the birth of twins. In the New Testament, in connection with the birth of Jesus Christ, though the conception was a bit unusual, Joseph was told that he was to take unto him Mary, his wife. And in that setting, even the Son of God was to be born. And in the first chapter of Luke, as John the Baptist is being brought upon the scene, all of that chapter indicates that it's the relationship between the husband and the wife, in this case, Zacharias and Elizabeth, according to the laws of nature, according to the time, as it is indicated here, that conception took place and there was the birth of a child. We live in a time today when the trend is to get away from God's plan. It's not unusual to hear some of the movie stars or those involved in other ways to suggest that a woman has decided to have a child and she's in the process of trying to decide the one that she wants to be the father. No marriage, no basic family situation. And even in the extreme cases today, two men living together, two women living together, talk about bringing a child into a setting like that. But from the beginning, God had principles to govern what should be the situation for the conception and the birth of a child. He intended for it to be in the setting of a man and a woman who are husband and wife, who then have the right to every relationship that God has given, and with His approval in that setting, with His blessings, bring a child into this world. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and that ought to always be remembered. Husband and wife have God's approval to choose to bring a child into this world. There is the right to be a parent. But the second verse that we're studying here suggests that there are some responsibilities that go along with this right. And many times, as we're discussing different subjects, we make the point that we need to put our rights and responsibilities together almost like Siamese twins or conjoined twins. And if we ever separate those two and take the responsibilities away from the rights and just emphasize the rights without the responsibilities, we're going to have problems. And I think we see the results of that even in dealing with families in the world today. Notice he says, after having said in verse 3 that children are an heritage of the Lord, that they are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. A man who has a bow and some arrows to shoot has the responsibility to shoot those arrows in the right direction, and to put forth the effort to see that that arrow reaches its target. No matter how much power there is in the string of the bow, unless that string is pulled back and released, the arrow will not be shot. And unless the arrow is aimed in the right direction at the target, it will not go where it was intended to go. Now think about that image here as he says that children are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Parents have the responsibility to point their children in the right direction and to release them with the right speed and the right power, that they might be able to hit the target and to accomplish that which needs to be accomplished in life. We have allowed ourselves in many instances to let the school and the church accept the responsibility for the rearing of children. I'm very thankful for what schools have done and are doing, and especially Christian schools. And I'm very appreciative for what is done by the church, especially in our Bible classes for our little ones, to help to bring them up in the right way. But folks, neither of those suggestions and the appreciation of those two institutions removes the fact that it is the basic responsibility of parents to rear their children. First responsibility of parents is to love each other and love their sons and daughters. Titus 2 verse 4. Every child that is brought into this world deserves to have a dad and a mother that love each other and love him. Sometimes that's not the case. But the older women were instructed to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children, Titus 2 4. And husbands were told to love their wives as their own bodies, in Ephesians chapter 5. There is the responsibility of being a father, the responsibility of being a mother. There's also the responsibility to provide. The principle is given in 1 Timothy 5:8, although he's not talking about the parent-child relationship there. He's talking about providing for one's own. But that is strengthened by 2 Corinthians 12:14 that says the parents are to lay up for the children. The parents are to take care of the children. That's how God intended it to be. The human child is less able to care for itself for a longer period of time than perhaps any other creature. And God set up this idea that we sometimes call parenting. That's another way of saying the responsibility to be accepted by dad and mother to bring that child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. To train him up in the way he should go, Proverbs 22:6. And to be sure that he knows the scriptures from a child, as is said about Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. Parents have responsibilities to train their children in the right way, to provide for them, to give them love. And I think all of that is sort of summed up in the idea that parents have the responsibility to set an example before their sons and daughters. As is the mother, so is the daughter, Ezekiel 16:44. In giving the Ten Commandments, right in the middle of it, there's the indication that there will be an effect upon the third and fourth generation. Not only parents, but even grandparents will have an effect upon grandchildren, maybe great-grandchildren. And you are aware of the statement that Paul made to Timothy when he said, "The unfeigned faith that I see in you, I saw first in your mother Eunice and in your grandmother Lois." Folks, we have a responsibility to set the right kind of example before our sons and daughters. And I humbly suggest to you that there is no sermon that can be preached for your son or daughter that's more important than the sermon you preach day by day, in showing an interest in God and putting God first and having the right relationship with people and serving them, having moral principles that just become a part of your life and are seen in your life by your son and daughter. There's the responsibility of being a parent. The right to be a parent, the responsibility to be a parent, and then the reward. And that's what we tend to think about the most today. Verse 5 here says, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." Point is, happy are parents who have children, who have the right relationship with them. All of us as parents know that there are some sad times that happen in the rearing of boys and girls. We know that there are difficult times, and many times, if it were not for the help that comes from God, we might very well fail. But when all is said and done, there is something about having children that's just different from anything else. One of the saddest situations that I face in my work today is to be associated with a man or a woman who's facing death and who has no family. They're facing it alone. Must be somewhat the setting that God saw when he looked at Adam and said it's not good for him to be alone. He saw the loneliness of the single person by himself. And it is encouraging, even when there is serious illness and when death comes, to have the family there. Many times you'll hear the statement made that when someone passed away, all their family was standing by. That's one of the great rewards. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. As we think about these rewards that go to parents, and especially today as we think about the giving of these rewards from us as sons and daughters, first, let's emphasize the idea that we need to honor and obey. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, verses 1 and 2, really. Obey your parents in the Lord, honor your father and mother. There may be a time when we grow into adulthood that we do not obey the specifics that we did when we were younger, but we never outgrow the need to honor. And we need to honor and obey our parents. In the latter part of the description of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 21 at verse 28, it says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." One of the rewards that is due our mothers and dads today is that we need to bless them and we need to praise them. And that suggests two ideas. One, that we need to have the right kind of thinking in our hearts, and number two, we need to use some words from our lips. Praise that is indicated here is not something that's silent. The blessing of the mother, the praising of the mother here is not something that's just thought and never expressed, but the idea is it's something that's expressed. And you and I need to express not only today and not only June the 18th, but every opportunity that we have, appreciation to our parents. for what they have done and what they mean to us. And back to that passage of 2 Timothy 1:5, I believe that one of the rewards that we need to consider is that we need to live in following that example that has been set. A card today means a lot. Sending some flowers to your mother will mean a lot. A telephone call will certainly be welcomed. But there is nothing you can do that will give a greater reward to your mother and to your father than to live the right kind of life. Even John, in the 4th verse of both of his 1-chapter books, said there is nothing that means any more than to see my children walking in the truth. He was not talking about his own personal sons and daughters. He was talking about those that he had converted, but the same principle is there. There is nothing that makes a mother or a father happier today than to see that son or daughter living a Christian life. To see that son or daughter reaching out to serve somebody. And sometimes those things that we do for others, which may not be directly to mother or dad, give a reward to mother and dad when they see the fruits of their labors and know that we are honoring them by the lives that we live. Again, I say there is nothing that you can do that will give a higher degree of honor and appreciation to your mother and to your dad than to live the right kind of life. And there is no life that you can live that is any better than the Christian life. There's the right to be a parent. I'm thankful God made it that way. There are the responsibilities associated with being a mother and a father. We need to take them seriously. And there are the rewards. Praise, bless, honor, obey, and above everything, live the right kind of example to show that appreciation and that honor. And there's nothing you can do, as I've already said, that's any greater than being a Christian and living a Christian life. That's just another reason. Not the only one, but another reason. Why, if you've not been baptized into Christ, you need to come this morning. If you need to be restored, you need to come even now, as together we stand and sing.
Man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. List to his loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Follow, follow Jesus every day.
Be seated, please.
This morning I want to introduce someone and then ask Brother Gary McKnight, one of our elders, to lead us in prayer. Sylvia Arnold, would you stand where you are, over to the right? Sylvia has been attending here for, I suppose, at least 2 years. She was in a very serious automobile accident, unable to be at church for a long time, but is now able to be back. And she wants to be considered a part of the work here. She's been very faithful when she could be here and impressed me that even when she was in the hospital and recovering from her serious injuries, she would regularly send a check, a contribution to help in the work here. Sylvia, we're glad to have you as a part of us, and Brother McKnight will lead us in a word of prayer.
Pray. Our Father in heaven, we're just so thankful that we have this avenue of prayer, that we can come and talk to you. thankful that you listen to us, and we know that. Father, at this time, we're thankful for Sylvia. We're thankful for her life. We're thankful for her dedication to you.